Hi everyone, welcome to our YouTube channel. If you're listening to this in a podcast, thanks for listening. We have Matt Smith here today with us in the studio.
How's it going, Gabor? Hi.
Good.
Thanks for having me again.
Yeah, it's awesome. Awesome to have Matt in the studio always. Today we're going to talk about inspiration with Matt. And Matt, you've been painting for a while now, so you're looking at it right now with a different eye than, 30 years ago too. You're reflecting backwards too. So what are your, if somebody's sort of new to this, doesn't have to be a young person, I'm just saying new to painting or they're stuck in their inspiration right now, they're watching this. How do you get past when you're a little bit, stuck maybe?
When you're first starting out, obviously everything's exciting.
Yeah.
Particularly, I'll address this from the standpoint of a landscape painter.
Yeah.
You're traveling, you're experiencing a lot of new things. It's exciting to be out there and on the road and on an adventure.
Yeah.
But as time goes on, you kind of drill down into what really interests you. I have a fun story. Early on when I was in my late 20s, I was a huge fan of Thomas Moran, Albert Bierstadt.
Mm-hmm.
And painters along those lines, big, dramatic, grandiose scenes.
Yeah.
And I loved the idea of, I lived in the desert at the time, Phoenix area. I wanted to go up and experience the Rockies.
Yeah.
And I loved it. I got up there and I thought, who doesn't want to live here?
Yeah.
So I come home, I had this little house and I put it on the market to sell and move up. I was thinking somewhere up around Bozeman. I had a friend up there at the time, Ralph Oberg. So we put the house on the market and couldn't sell it because it was a kind of a depressed market. So I doubled down and said, this is where I live. I'm gonna really figure out, how to express my opinion of the Sonoran Desert and the beauty of the Sonoran Desert. I kind of fell in love. I already loved the area. It wasn't an obvious beauty like the Rocky Mountains or a seascape, the coast, that kind of thing. But there still was an extraordinary beauty to it. And over the years, just the amount of time I spend in the desert, I've connected with it.
Yeah.
And I think it's really important for anybody on any level to keep that in mind. Celebrate your world rather than somebody else's world. I see that too much when I look through galleries and museums, particularly some of the contemporary artists are painting in the style of this person or that person or imitating what somebody else is doing. And they're overlooking their own their own world and their own experiences, which are so important. So if I hit a wall and lose inspiration, I find one of two things helps. Crack an art history book or go outside and paint from direct observation. And that pretty much always fires me up. Even if I end up not painting for the day, just getting out and following a desert wash and see where it goes.
Yeah.
And just observe and absorb what's happening, take it in, and that will transition into future paintings. And I think that's very important. But the key takeaway is to paint your world, paint what you love, even if nobody else is responding to it yet.
Yeah.
Very early on, I had several prominent dealers tell me, "You're wasting your time painting the desert. Nobody wants it."
Imagine, guys, Matt is getting to looking back. But I'm not saying.
Yeah, who was I to question him? I was just a kid,
Like, maybe.
and I'm looking through old books and magazines trying to find historical desert painters, and I'm coming up with about three of them, Maynard Dixon and Gunnar Weedforce and Jimmy Swinnerton, people like that. So I was thinking maybe there's something to this, but then I thought, no, I have something to say here, and I'm going to say it.
Yeah.
And to this day, I just absolutely love the desert. We've had a terrific winter, as you know.
Yeah.
And we've painted outside together multiple times, and it's just that's my happy place.
Yeah.
When I get out there. And,
Matt has a saying too. We have these washes in the desert, and you call it entryways. Right.
I call them the natural corridors of the desert.
Yeah,
that's where the animals walk, and there's a lot of character along those arroyos because that's where the water is. So you get the old sycamore and cottonwood trees, beautiful ironwood trees. There's just a lot happening there, and you get these cut banks and big shapes, dark shapes against lighter shapes, and it just they're fun to design, and I never tire of those. I grew up as a kid walking up and down desert washes, my little 22, and and I'm out, you know, just plinking around and exploring, yeah. and I had a great time. I spent countless hours doing that. I've walked 5,000 miles
down desert. You still return to those places, and they change every yep. year because of the as the monsoons come, right? As it gets washed and re sort of configured with boulders, so it's constantly changing, right?
They're always new. The plant life will grow up and sort of choke them out, and then a big flood will come through and clear it out.
Yeah.
And it's an all new subject. So they're all new and they're everywhere and everything from the small wash. But anyway, that's what excites me, and it goes back to my childhood.
Yeah.
And where I live now, and that's where I see so much of the character of the desert.
And this is true for everyone in the sense of wherever you are at. I mean, there's something there.
I've told the story of the time I drove out to Missouri, which is where I was born, to teach a workshop, and I went through Arkansas on the way, and I couldn't believe how beautiful it was.
I remember you said you were excited, yeah.
Absolutely phenomenal. Yeah. And I'm thinking, why aren't paintings of Arkansas hanging on museum walls everywhere?
Yeah.
Or southern Illinois in the winter? Or I mean, there's beauty everywhere if you go out and find. Look at there's a show going on in Reno at one of the museums up there, Maynard Dixon, right now. I haven't seen it yet. I'm going to go up and take a look at that. But I'm seeing a lot of the images coming up online of just these big, vast, open Mojave Desert paintings, and he saw the beauty of that. Boy, he showed it to us just clear as can be.
Yeah.
Landscape that many people would drive right by and not think much of. He absolutely celebrated that place, and it shows in his work, and it's inspiring.
It's kind of like with, I think, like a wildlife artist, if it was animals, you know, it's just amazing how people hone in on, you know, you got your big game animals, which they are beautiful. I'm not saying they're not. But there's all sorts of other little creatures, right?
Yes.
So sometimes I come across someone like, whoa, it's a mouse.
Yeah.
It's a beautiful painting of a mouse.
You ever see the Abbott Thayer painting of the copperhead and the fall leaves?
I don't know if I've seen that.
Oh, man. Yeah. I mean, who would think that'd be a great painting?
We'll maybe try to get it and put it up on the screen.
But. Yeah, but it was a terrific painting. But you're right. I mean, there's beauty from the grandiose all the way down into the quietest little scene that might be taking place at your feet while you paint.
Yeah.
All of a sudden you look down and the way the light throws
a shadow. Matt has some great quotes, and I always remember, you know, certain ones definitely always ring in my head, and one of them said, there's nothing more Western than a Western landscape.
It was here first.
You know, it was here before the cowboys.
Before the cowboys horses, and the humans possibly, and the horses were. So, that's a good thing to bring up. I mean, I see a lot of really nice Western paintings, and the area where I see probably most of the problems with those is in the landscape.
Mm-hmm, sure.
The artist focuses so much on the horse and rider and maybe the tack and all that.
Yeah.
And they focus everything on that, and they discount atmospheric perspective or natural light.
Yeah.
And so the best Western painters I've seen are those who actually go outdoors and paint from life, whether it just be a landscape or maybe a study of a horse. Yeah. Bill Anton is a good example.
Like, right up there.
So you can't fool everybody all the time. Eventually, you're going to have to go out and soak that all in. And a lot of them do.
Same thing with animal artists. It's just the same kind of thing.
Same thing.
And animals are living in nature, so you would think, you know, it's such a one-on-one. But
Carl Rungis is a great historical example for that. All the little field sketches he did, I've seen hundreds of those. Yeah. I went to the Glenbow and went through their collection, and just hundreds of those things. And that translates into those studio paintings in terms of his understanding, like I say, of atmospheric perspective and conditions and natural light.
But he was out there
living it.
Living it. He was camping, hunting, and lived in it.
See it. So there are a lot of drive-by painters out there. Everything's through the side window of their car or from the pullouts in a national park.
Yeah.
You've got to go in deeper.
Yeah.
And that's where the fun is. That's where the enjoyment is. It's kind of. I remember the first time I painted outside. It was a miserable experience.
Yeah.
I completely failed.
Yeah.
And for the first 2 years, it was consistent failure.
Yeah.
But all my mentors were saying, Matt, go outside, paint from direct observation. So I did.
Yeah.
And worst case scenarios, it's a bad day painting outdoors, which is a good day.
Yeah.
Because you're outdoors.
Yeah.
So I spent a lot of time out there doing all that, and I learned so much. It's not about that one painting on that day. It's about years of accumulating this knowledge and information and observing what's happening firsthand.
Yeah. Well, these are good. These are great tips, I think, for anyone anywhere. Doesn't matter where you're at.
Well, they sure helped me, and I'm getting into my senior years now, and I find that all I want to do is go outside and paint.
Yeah, it's even harder.
I enjoy the studio, but I really love being out on location painting.
Yeah,
and that's where I love being.
Yeah, no, these are great tips, Matt. So thank you for sharing your knowledge.
And, sure, Gabor, thanks for having me again.
Sure. Yeah. Good. Thanks for listening. If you're on YouTube right now, click it. Subscribe, share. It would be great to have that for the channel. And thank you for listening, watching, and we hope to see you guys next time. Bye-bye.